The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Father, we thank you. Let every ear be anointed to hear, and every heart be receptive to receive all that heaven has today, we pray. Thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. There's not failed one word of all of your good promises. It's your word that will sustain your people by your word and by your spirit, regardless of any plan of the enemy. It's your word that goes before us that makes the crooked path straight. It's your word that empowers us, that equips us, that graces us. It's by your word that our faith is strengthened and cause even faith to come in the hearts of every listener here today and cause this word to multiply and manifest this next week in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Exodus. How many know that we have been doing communion at the close of the service here for quite many years now? Probably 5 years, if not longer. I think probably started back 2014. I'm trying to remember when I began to do that. And part of the reason why was that I felt like, how were we going to protect God's people from what I knew was coming? Because you cannot control what people drink or eat, or even the air that people breathe. And it was really a burden that I felt so strong upon me, because I really feel responsible for people. I actually care about people. I hate to see people hurting, and I hate to see people suffering. When you travel 85 countries of the world, you see enough of that. And of course, here in America, and just so you know, guys, you're not handing out the sermon notes. The bulletin and what I'm preaching are two different things. So people need to get a bulletin when they walk in the door, but that's for the HOJs. That's not for the message. So people are going to try to find the notes there. No notes there. God freed me up from that. Okay. So the Lord said to me, bring them around my table. The table of the Lord, which is so significant for us here at the River Church. How many had that at the conclusion of every service we have communion together? Wave your hand. How many are glad that you know that the Lord has already helped you and sustained you because of coming around the table? It was back when we first started the church back 23 years ago, that if I did communion, I always preached a whole message on it. I have a series out called The Table of the Lord. I'm not sure if it's available today. It might be online, but I've had pastors come to me and say, you know, we felt the Lord telling us to deal with the table of the Lord, and we got a hold of your series, and we locked ourselves in our room the whole of Saturday, and we went through all of the tapes just on the table of the Lord, and we went out and had the greatest communion service we've ever had. Because something happens when you understand what I'm talking about here today. Amen. This is not just an ordinance of the church, but this actually represents something that took place for you and for me. So today I want to take a few minutes and talk to you about the covenant meal. When you begin to receive communion today, realize that this is a covenant meal, that this was laid out for you, by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill what was portrayed in the Old Testament by types and shadows. He came to bring into the fulfillment of the actual manifestation of it through what took place at Calvary. So go with me, Exodus 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, and say, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Now you understand, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So God was about to get to deliver his people out of captivity, out of bondage, but something was going to take place. A sacrifice was going to be made. He said, take a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now they estimate that about 2.5 million people were coming out of bondage. So let's say there was about 8 people per family, if you looked at father, mother, you know, and then the children and the grandparents or whatever, or two houses joined together, and you divide that into 2.5 million, you're looking at about 300,000 lambs. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever roasted lamb, there's a fragrance that will fill the backyard. You know, the moment you start to cook lamb, how many have ever done that? And the next door neighbor can smell the fragrance. We were just in, Indonesia. I think it was in Indonesia. And our driver said that, you know, he, of course, Indonesia's got Muslims and Hindus and Christians, but he said that his wife makes the best lamb, and there's a Hindu who lives next door, and when he smells a lamb, he can't help himself. He comes over the back part of the yard. He said, don't let my wife see that I'm here. And he comes, and he smuggles in just to get some lamb. He said, please do not tell my wife. She will kill me if she knew I was eating the lamb. But he said, my wife knows how to make the spices of the lamb. And he said, the poor guy next door, he can smell the lamb cooking and he can't help himself, because as a Hindu, he's not supposed to eat, you know, lamb. But he can't help himself. It's like a major temptation. So my driver was telling me, he said, I know it's wrong what I do, but we do it on purpose just to see if he's going to show up at the backyard. And he said, he comes around the bottom of the gate so his wife can't see, and then he comes in there, and we all know we have a plate set aside for him, and then he eats it. He said, don't tell her, and then he goes back to the house, you know. So, but how many know, if you're cooking 300,000 lambs in the land of Egypt, that there was a smell of freedom in the air? Are you with me? Well, I feel like lamb today. I just feel like eating roast lamb today. Amen. I feel like lamb. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, I come from Africa. We eat lamb, and I come here and everybody eats pigs. And you know, it's a little different. A pig and a lamb are two totally different things, you know. You can't even compare the two. I mean, bacon is bacon, but lamb is lamb. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Am I making you hungry? All right. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now watch this. You shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the house wherein you will eat. So in other words, you're going to take the blood and you're going to paint it on the doorpost and on the sides, okay? And then you will eat the flesh in the night, roasted. So this is not sushi. We're not talking about rare. Don't give me rare lamb. If you want to irritate me, bring me lamb that's rare. Listen, I like roast lamb according to the scripture. Amen. Okay, I'll leave that alone. And unleavened bread with bitter herbs shall you eat it. Eat it not raw. So no sushi. Everybody say no sushi. Why did you not say that with conviction? What's wrong with you people? Follow me. I said no sushi. Roasted with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain. That's why eat everything. Eat it all. And that which remaineth until the morning you will burn with fire. And then thus you shall eat with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. So now, out of 2.5 million people that were leaving the land of Egypt, you have to understand that there was a great number of the population that were aged, elderly. Some were crippled, some were blind, some might have had, they could not move, you know. But so what was God going to do? Coming out of 400 years of slavery, God was about to have the biggest healing and miracle service was going to take place. They could not leave. They couldn't leave Egypt till they had the lamb in them and the blood over them. But something happened. So when the blood was put over the doorpost and lintels, that meant when the angels of death passed over, it could not touch any house. That's why I want you to know the blood is on your house. No plague can come on your house. The blood is on your car. The blood is on your wife, your children, everywhere you go. It is the blood of Jesus that protects you.
Amen. That's a good word.
But it wasn't just the blood. They had to eat of the lamb. They couldn't leave Egypt till they had the lamb in them and the blood over them. And as they ate of the lamb, something happened. Eyes started opening, ears started hearing, cripples started to walk, and people that were infirmed and just wouldn't even be able to move. They were not even fit to leave. Because if, let's say, you were elderly and you were not able to move, they would have had to leave them behind in the land of Egypt. But God brought all of them out. All of them out. That meant when they ate of that lamb, there was a quickening. They put that lamb in their mouth. They felt an anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can just imagine elderly couple. Suddenly quickened, and he looks at his wife. Man, I feel things I never felt in years. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. But what does the Bible say? You wait on the Lord, you renew your. You mount up with wings. You run and not be. You walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Whew, this is so great. He says, now I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite the firstborn in the land, both men and beast. Against the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, everybody say the blood, shall be to you for a token, a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Why do you think the Bible says 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you? Hallelujah.
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 And he said, this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it as a feast by ordinance forever. which that's what we're doing with communion. Obviously, in the land of Israel, and Israelis still celebrate Passover and all that kind of stuff. But for us, we don't wait for a year to do that. We actually are doing that every Sunday when we take off communion. That's Passover. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So they couldn't leave Egypt till they had the lamb in them and the blood over them. We cannot leave the world of sin until we get Jesus in our heart and his blood comes and washes us clean from all sin, from all guilt, and from all shame. What we're doing today, as we will partake of communion together as a family, this is a covenant meal. This represents what was bought and paid for you, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but was bought and paid for you by the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That blood is still powerful and as active today as it was when it was first shed at Calvary. I know some people say that his blood was spilled, but when you say spilled, that sounds like an accident. Jesus' blood was not spilled, it was shed on purpose. Can you say amen? Now, when you go back and you look under the old covenant, you'll see that the priest and the high priest, they were in charge of breeding the lambs for sacrifice. And so, when we fast forward from the moment of the first Passover that took place, and we come to the time of Jesus, we see that at the same time that they were breeding lambs to get them ready for sacrifice, Jesus was getting ready to head to Jerusalem.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus, the Lamb of God, born to die. Yes, he showed himself during 3.5 years of earthly ministry, but his whole plan was to go to Calvary and to become sin for you and I. When the shepherds heard about Jesus from the angels while they were watching their flocks, lambs were being prepared for the Passover. But Jesus was being born. There was another lamb that was being prepared. You hear about him as a child when they couldn't find him and he was in the temple and he said, did you not know us about my father's business? But really for 29 years, you don't really hear much about him. But something happened in his 30th year. He comes down to the River Jordan. John the Baptist, his cousin, saw him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John 1 and verse 36, behold the Lamb of God. And Jesus came down and was baptized in the Jordan by John. He came up out of the water. The Bible says the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. God spoke out of heaven, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Yea, he him. I'll tell you right now, up until that time, the devil didn't actually know who he was. If the devil had known who he was, how come did he have all the little Hebrew boys from the age of 2 and down slaughtered if he knew? The devil doesn't know everything. Are you kidding me? He only knows what you tell him. That's why you need to learn to shut your mouth. shut your mouth. Zip it. Don't open your mouth and tell him what's going on. Are you with me? Somebody says, well, I just need people to know how I'm afraid and I'm just gonna say what comes in my head. No. You don't want to be an amplifier for the devil's lies. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if there be a good report, think on these things, speak those things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So here he is. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, did he go to the cross at that announcement? No. That was announcing the beginning of his earthly ministry, which would then be made manifest, as we can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And as we read through the Gospels, we see the miracles that he did. We listen to the things that he said. We follow his teachings and his saying. We go to his crusade meetings, and I've been to them many, many times. I cannot tell you how many times I've been to the Pool of Bethesda. Five porches. I've sat in every one of the porches. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Did you go there? Yeah, of course, I went to Israel, but it's really not where the Pool of Bethesda is. It's like 60 foot below. I'm not talking about that pool. I'm talking about the one found in the scripture. I went there in the page of the book. Can you say amen? I've been many times on the way to Jairus' house, to the woman with the issue of blood, when she pressed through the crowd. In actual fact, I came from the one side. The next time I read it, I came from the other side. I've been in every side of that passage. I was there when blind Bartimaeus got healed. I was there when he fed the 5,000. I was there when he turned the water into wine. You say, how? How in the world did you go there? I went there in the pages of the book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of you, if you just have an imagination, you can go there in the page of the book. You can read it, close your eyes, and just see the woman with the issue of blood pressing through the crowd. You can see the friends. In actual fact, you climb up on the roof and help the friends rip up the roof to get the friend down there quicker. Are you with me? Hallelujah. All you need is an imagination. You think Disney has the imagination? I got a bigger imagination than them. I read the Bible, and then suddenly I'm right there. So now here he is. The Gospel of John, at the end of it, said all these miracles did Jesus do, and all the others that he written down, I do not suppose the books of the world would contain them. That's why when I get to heaven, I'm going to pull the virtual reality tapes and watch all those other miracles. Because I'm inquisitive. I had one religious leader say, you'll know as you are known. They always come with these one lines. We got all eternity. If I want to watch on heaven flicks, then leave me alone. Well, you won't need to. You won't need to watch. You'll know as you are known. Whatever. There's always people pop with the balloons. It don't matter how, what kind of a party you have, and they always come to mess it up. I don't even think some of these people are going to get to heaven. Like for me, I mean, there's certain things I want to watch. I want to go right back to when he said, light be! And I want to watch the whole of creation, you know. I want to watch all of that. Just because I want to. And then I want to watch the first 30 years. I want to watch what he did when he was a kid. It's just, somebody say, yeah, but 30 years. It doesn't matter. I got eternity. Don't tell me what I'm going to be doing in eternity. I work for you. So now we go to the end of his earthly ministry, to now when he's now going to go become the sacrifice lamb. At the age of 33, he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. Isaiah 50 and verse 7 says, on the ninth day of Nisan, the Lamb of God makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. At the same time, all the lambs for sacrifice are coming through the sheep gate. So what is actually taking place is that the Passover that's been kept for all these years, this is different now. Whew. This is different now. For all of the years from the time of Moses, the Passover had been kept as a memorial. But this was totally different. While the lambs were coming in through the sheep gate, through the other gate was coming the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice to pay the price for the sin of the world. And they didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. Like I said, if the devil had known it, he wouldn't have had all those. The Bible even says, had the princes of the world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the devil even thought, I'll kill him. He didn't realize in killing Jesus would be his demise. You talk about a rude awakening. The devil had a rude awakening. He thought he's going to get Jesus. I'm going to kill him. He didn't realize it was over. It was over. Can you say amen? Now, let me just lay this out for you. So Jesus goes to partake of the Passover with his disciples. And when he followed the pattern that was laid out by Moses, instead of him just doing this as a memorial for what was to come, he was actually adding substance to it. Let me give you an example. On the table was a bag with bread in three pouches, which to the Jews represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But to us, the church represented Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he reaches in and he takes the middle loaf, which was Isaac or the Son. Are you with me? And he broke the middle loaf and said, take, eat. This is my body. So now, suddenly, this is not just a traditional thing that they always did at the time, that they didn't even understand what they were doing, but now he's giving substance to what was done down through the years. Then there were four cups, three that were right side up, but one cup was face down. This cup was the Messiah's cup. This cup was the cup of redemption. And he picks that cup up. And he said, drink this. This is the new covenant in my blood. There's people running around in fear today because of what's going on the earth. And this is only a forerunner. If it's not the main thing, this is the testing ground. It'll be even worse in the days to come. But those that know what I'm talking about right now, those that have an understanding of what I'm talking about right now, those that grab this for you, it's not something that's just practiced in the church by some crazy pastor who's overboard. But if you grab a hold of this and forget about religious people and what they have to say and say, bless God, I'm taking this for me today, then upon you and your house shall be the sustenance of heaven, and heaven will carry you, and heaven shall sustain you, and you will accomplish heaven's purpose and plan. For the devil does not control your destiny, but God controls your destiny. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Now, remember, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he was getting ready to drink that cup of bitterness for you and for me. But let's look at Isaiah. You would say Isaiah, but really it's Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that is thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Therefore, you can't sell this. It's free, ladies and gentlemen. There's no price attached to it. Cursed be every man who tries to sell what God has provided freely for his people. He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Every day people are buying things that are useless, that you can't eat. I've seen people, we need to get gold and silver in that. Try eat silver. Try eat gold. Your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. So God's not fat free. God is not low-cal God. God is not... Just so you know. Amen. Incline your ear. Come near to me. Hear. Let your soul you shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, it will accomplish that which I please, it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Try not to get too excited. As those lambs came in the sheep gate and were being scrutinized so that they were finding them without spot or blemish, so Jesus was being inspected by the priest and the high priest. Pontius Pilate said 3 times, I find no fault in him. And the high priest gave him up to be crucified. As they nailed him to the cross, they were sharpening their knives on the other side for the animals to be sacrificed. He died even as the lambs were being sacrificed, except this was the final, the finale. And he cried, it is finished. And when he cried, it is finished, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And the Holy Spirit came out of that tabernacle made with the hands of man, never again to live therein, but to come and live in our hearts. So that you could become the temple of the living God. As 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, know you not that you are the temple of the living God? For God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I'll be their God. Yeah. And they'll be my people. Hallelujah. I'm so happy today that he is our God and that we are his people. I'm so glad that he came to make his home on the inside of us. I'm so glad that he did not pick us based on our nationality, on our age. I'm so glad that he said, whosoever will, let him come. I'm so glad that when he said, if we call out to me, I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know about. I'm so glad that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that God is looking for people that he can show himself strong in their behalf, and that I cried out, all those years ago in Africa. And he came and he found me in Africa. And I'm so glad that he come and find you right here in America or wherever you're watching by way of television today. When you realize this, when you look at people, you look at them differently. Because you realize that he came and has made his home on the inside of them. That's not for everybody. People in the world, he hasn't made his home on the inside. Somebody said, we're all God's people. There's a lot of people that aren't God's people. They're the devil's people. The devil lives on them, in them. Some of them have passengers. Some of them are a bus loaded with passengers. Everyone can become God's people. But the only way for you to do that is you have to humble yourself. You can't go make yourself better. You have to humble yourself. And you have to surrender. I see people everywhere. They always want to go try to make themselves better. I'll come back when I'm ready. I just need to go and... No, you come as you are. You surrender as you are. Somebody said, well, let me wait a week. No, now. Now, today, now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Now. You come as you are when he calls you. That's why we run into 300 cities of the world. And in the light of everything that's taking place, it even makes even more sense why we felt the urgency that we have. When you realize that he comes to make his home on the inside of you, you look at everybody around you differently. When you realize that he came to make his home on the inside of you, then you'll say, okay, come. Live big on the inside of me. Take my mouth, take my hands, take my feet, use me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. Not my will, but yours be done. When you realize these things and you realize you don't belong to yourself, you'll never worry about your life again. You'll never worry about your safety. You know that your life is hid with Christ in God and that he loves you and you're about his purpose and his plan. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Ask the Lord to give you this revelation today that you can see people the way he sees them. And then everything will change. There'll never be any class distinction. You'll lose all of that. You'll never, there'll not even be one drop of racism in you because you realize there's no white or black or red or yellow. If we cut us open, we all got red blood. Nobody's got green blood. Are you with me? But you realize there's only one color. It's the color of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And now with the ability the Lord's given me to speak in many languages, I am so happy. I'm so happy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So before we have communion together today, I want everybody just to bow your heads. I want to ask a few questions that give people opportunity to surrender their life. And those of you watching in your homes, this is your opportunity today. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. We cannot guarantee another day on the earth. The Bible even says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? You went home tonight and you put your head on the pillow. In the middle of the night, you just stopped breathing. Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You cannot buy what I'm talking about. You can go give away all your money. It won't earn this for you. But today you can humble yourself to say, Lord, I come. I come to the foot of the cross. I come to that place called Calvary. I come to the place of the shed blood, and today I come to receive the Lamb in me. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and I ask you to wash me in your blood. I've tried to clean myself many times. I've stood in the shower and tried to wash away what I was feeling, but I couldn't. Even when I got out of the shower, I felt still dirty. But your blood will wash me clean today. And so I come. Not only will your blood wash me clean, but it will wash away all guilt, all shame, and every stain. And so I surrender to you. Come. Take my life. If this is you, don't delay today. Will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior? Secondly, maybe you've come into this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened and you lost that. You come around church and you go through the motions, but it's not the same. You read your Bible, but it's not the same. You pray, but it's not the same. And having been now 40 years in the ministry, everywhere I've gone, I've studied the things that stop people. God spoke to me, he said many things. It's the hidden things of the heart. The hidden things that lie dormant or that are there that no one deals with because no one else can see what's in their heart. And they never deal with it because they feel safe and secure in the privacy of their own imagination. Today, he sees everything. You say, what are the hidden things? Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that come and clog the heart of man. But today, he will set you free if you'll just surrender. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everybody knows. They posted it on Facebook, what you did. People remind you on the anniversary of what you did. Do you remember what you did? And so you being reminded of these things on a continual basis, you feel like, well, what's the use anyway? God can't use me. Look what I did. Everybody knows what I've done. But let me tell you, God is a God of a second chance. He's a God of a new beginning. If you'll come to him and just say, Lord, I surrender afresh to you. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Today, you might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, he comes. If you'll just humble yourself to receive today, only believe. Only believe. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. I've talked to pastors of great churches, and they said, man, I was going along, and the storm hit me like a Mack truck from hell, out of the blue. And it knocked the wind out of my sails. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. It took your breath away. I've had them look at me and say, I don't even know how to get back. They say the church is doing great, the ministry is doing great, but I know there's something wrong. I don't even know how to get back. But today, if you'll humble yourself, he'll come and do that work and renew you and restore you. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord with all your heart, but as you are seated in this place or you're watching by way of television, you do not have the assurance that you're a child of God. The devil is always lying to you, saying to you, you're not saved. You're not saved. And you are tired of that battle. It's a battle between your head and your heart. But today you say, I want to know. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God. Today I can tell you with all assurance, today you can know that you are a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, I want you to quickly just put your hand up and say, pray for me right now. All across the room, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise up high and say, yes, that's me. Another hand over there, another hand over there. Quickly raise it up all across the building. Even in your homes, you can raise it up as well. Somebody said, nobody can see me. God sees you right where you are. Hands are going up all across this place. Just slip it up high and say, yes, Lord, today is my day. Today is my day. Once you've raised it up, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand but want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray, quickly slip it up high and say, include me. Anybody else? Raise up high and say, yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Put up high. What about under the overhang over here? Put it up high and say, yes, that's me. That's me. I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. What about this section? You didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now and say, include me. Anybody else? Anyone else? This section right over here, just slip it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Right over there. I've seen your hand already. What about this section here? Just slip it up high. Thank you. Right at the back. Anybody else? I want every person that raised your hand all across the building to stand right now, please. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to bring your personal belongings and come down. Come stand around the altar. We're going to pray. Ushers, help them. Help them. Come. You can stand in your home right where you are. As I pray with them in just a few moments, you can pray with us. This is what this is all about. It's about surrendering your life to Jesus. Today he comes and transforms your life. Today he comes and he changes you from the inside out. Maybe nothing changes on the outside. You still look the same, but everything changes on the inside. Ushers, if you'd help them as they come right now, please. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Bring them around, bring them around, bring them around. Come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. Now, if you're watching on the different languages, of course, the translation is going to get better and better the more I practice and work with the AI. So if there's been a couple of mistakes, don't blame the translation. It's just me, because I have to spend more time working with it. But I promise you, I'm going to get to work with all of it. Amen. I want you to stretch your hand out to these precious people today. I want you to look at me, if you would, please. You're the very reason that the Lord sent me all the way from Africa here as a missionary. Because whether you believe it or not, I actually heard your cry. Because a missionary is not one that crosses the sea, but one who sees the cross. And when you see the cross of Jesus, then you realize how important people are, how valuable they are. And I know ministers say this, but this is really the fact. If you were the only person that was here, he would have come to die for you. Because this is very personal today. And so we're going to pray a prayer, one prayer fits all. If you've come for the first time today, or you've come to recommit your life, if you've come to make sure, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. And those in your homes, I want you to pray this together with us right now. Just say this out loud. Just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now, Father, I pray that you would come and seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation for the kingdom of heaven, we pray. I break every bondage, every hindrance, every curse. I send it back to its place of origin even now. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets every captive free today. Right now, depression is going. Right now, bondages are going. Right now, addictions are going. Right now, every chain, every yoke is being destroyed. Every yoke, every chain is being destroyed. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you from this moment. I'm going to ask the Lord to give you double joy. Yeah. And you. Come on. Come on, every single one of you. This lady, look at me, sister. Look at me. You're never going to be the same again. Huh? Come here. Pick up. Bring her here. Bring her here. Just turn around. See, you don't get to see what I see. I see this every night. I see this in the cities of the world. I see this at the altar calls. So to some, this is just a call. To me, this is a life-changing moment. This is not the power of man, but the power of God. You cannot buy this. She's okay. I know. She looks like she's dying, but she's not dying. Trust me. I'm a doctor. And you will leave here with a fever. You will. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost fever that you will leave with. Amen. They've been trying to put me in solitary confinement. They've been trying to quarantine me for years. They've been trying to keep me away from certain churches. They said, that man is dangerous. Yeah, I'm dangerous to every plan the devil has. Can you say amen? And you are dangerous to every plan that the enemy has. From this day.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.